Hey everyone, this is Adriana, producer of The Skill Set. I just wanted to let you know that a new episode of The Skill Set is live, and you can listen anywhere you download your podcast. This new episode is with Solomon Renfro, a talented sneaker designer at New Balance, who shares his unique journey from studying interior architecture to becoming a footwear visionary. You don't want to miss this conversation.
Welcome to the Imagine Place podcast. I'm your host, Doug Shapiro, and I'm searching for voices that can help inspire a more creative and courageous you. Lauren, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Doug. Thank you for having me.
So you're the brand manager for Carolina, and I asked you to join me because I know this is a subject that's near and dear to your heart.
Yes, it is. I'm super excited to be here and really excited about the upcoming episode. So Carolina and Mannington Commercial came together for an event that we called Crafted for Living. We gathered experts from all over the country who are responsible for all levels of design within the senior living community. And one guest in particular, Kevin Swanson with Hawthorne Construction Group. He further discussed with you his knowledge and insights within designing for senior living. So yes, we are super excited.
Yeah, Kevin was a joy to listen to. So let's hear the interview, and I'd love to get your take on what he says afterwards.
Great.
When you speak about what you do, there is so much care.
If you noticed during the presentation we just kind of got out of that, we kind of got on a lot of tangents and we all participated, which I thought was great. We all have the same experiences, but they're all a little different, but they all come from the heart. They come from passion. And that's what I love about what we do for the senior population.
And I want to talk about heart, passion, but I want to get into some more left brain stuff here. I want to talk about trends. Because senior living is what you design for. I mean, you are in that space and you're learning new things. You're studying. What are you watching right now around senior living that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think we're taking a lot of our inspirations from the hospitality world, and we always probably have. I think it's becoming more and more evident now that, you know, the dining trend is really, really big. We have multi-dining venues that we're building into the communities, maybe a more formal dining room, a less formal dining room that's maybe an all-day grab-and-go, coffee shops, places for you to have maybe a pastry in the morning or maybe in a tea in the afternoon or something like that. Outdoor dining is becoming big as well. We have started naming the dining rooms like restaurant names versus just it being the dining room, so to speak. There are still communities out there, though, that have a stricter dining regimen, and I think that's also going to be current, or maybe just more stable. We have residents that really enjoy the strict 1-2-3 meals. For instance, a resident came up to me recently as I was in a building, and she was telling me that she moved to the community that we were in because it had more of a timed eating. She didn't see anyone when she had an open dining room and open times. And so I was like, wait a minute now. We're talking about these trends. We're talking about, oh, multiple dining spaces and all of this. And I'm like, ooh. We need to kind of step back. But yes, it's a trend. We do need to step back and take a look.
Wow.
Maybe this isn't the best because she missed seeing people. If they could eat all day long, suddenly she was going when she wanted to go, but none of her friends were there. Now where she lives, breakfast is at 8, 12:30 lunch, maybe 5:30 dinner. She was guaranteed to sit with her friends. So it's a trend, but it also is something we need to also remain as a constant, what we've always done. So, that's sort of a trick question maybe in a way when it comes to the trend of dining.
Well, I mean, I think it sheds light on just how to take trends with caution.
Right.
Just in general, regardless of the industry or what you're designing for.
Exactly.
There's qualitative research that needs to happen. Conversations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not just data, but conversations. I'm curious about that because you need to be empathetic to design, right? You need to walk a mile.
Correct, yeah.
How do you walk a mile? How do you stay engaged at that deep level?
You know, you have to understand who's living there. First and foremost, we're doing this for them in the end. We're not doing it to win any awards, but we also do need to answer to a number of people. We have the investing company. We have the ownership company. We maybe have a different operator that has a brand that they want to portray. And then we also just have the residents and the residents' families. We always forget about the families. We're also answering to them. So you need to have a great conversation with all of these people and then kind of come back to the table and say, okay, I think this is what we're going to do now. And I think we're going to fulfill everyone's needs. And it's a tough walk to walk. I don't think we're always successful, but I think that's okay. You know, that's okay. We will learn, and hopefully we can fix that if we didn't do it quite right the first time. And it's tough. I mean, we're all so passionate about it that I think we want to do our best. When we don't, I think we take it really hard. So that question is sometimes you get a little pit in your stomach when you say, how do you get so entrenched? It's like, I think we love what we do. We love who we do it for. And we want to do such a good thing. And when we don't, I think we feel it. So yeah. I don't know. That probably didn't answer your question very well, but I'm just saying.
It did. I can sense that, you know, you care deeply about the outcomes.
100%. Yeah. If I have a resident that comes up to me when we're finished with a renovation or an installation, and they just aren't happy, I'm so sorry that I can't fix it at that moment, but I feel so sad that I can't. I didn't do it right. I didn't do it right for that. And I'm trying to answer to 144 people typically in a building, you know, 80 to 140 some people. And I can't please everyone, but I want to. And I think that's where the passion comes from. And I think that's where the rub is with getting so entrenched into it. I'm not going to be able to succeed, but I want to so bad for everybody.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I feel like any commercial designer who's designed any space probably can relate right. to this feeling of like, you know, how do you please everyone?
Yes.
You know, all 144 yes. people and the staff and everything. I was thinking about senior living and the vocabulary around it, and how when you're in senior living, you're probably more sensitive to certain words mm-hmm. or certain phrases.
Yes.
Are there some hot buttons for you? Like some maybe you can educate an audience that doesn't know a lot about senior yes. living right now on some words to avoid.
Facility. It's probably the biggest one. In our discussion earlier today, a colleague kind of brought this up. If I can say the F word, it's the facility word. they live in a community. It's we really when I speak at like some hospitality driven events, we're always wanting to get rid of the word facility from everyone's vocabulary. It's a home. You don't live in a facility. Per se, we just want, and I also hate saying room, even though the residents constantly say, "Are you going back to your room?" And I'm like, "It's your apartment. You know, you have an apartment or a condo within this building that has common space, which is your shared living space. You still have your own apartment that has a living room and has a little kitchenette, has your own bedroom, typically, unless you have a studio." So that's another one too. I hate saying the word room.
Yeah.
Let me think for a moment. What other words are kind of a trigger word? The facility one is just the biggest one that we just really try to drive, I guess. It's just we want to take away that stigma of a home.
Yeah, yeah.
From either a community or an apartment.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Hmm. Let's talk about amenity spaces, mm-hmm. right? Because amenity spaces are changing, evolving. That's a hot word across
yes.
a lot of industries right now, but specifically in senior living.
Well, you know, it can be almost anything. You know, in our buildings that we have, the amenity spaces, we have a big activity space with a kitchen bistro where we can either have the residents participate in baking something or do demonstrations, a bistro where they can have a party in. The other amenity spaces are our movie theaters, true-on movie theaters, real movie theater seats, step down, dark, the big curtain, everything, that the whole nine yards. You know, and the other amenities that I think are more current in the independent living and more higher-end independent, you've got Olympic-sized pools. Mm. You actually have some doctor's offices. A gym, per se, like not just a couple of machines, but we've got a full-on gym, Pilates. You know, this is a thing. And then, of course, your typical amenity spaces. I mean, you need to have spaces for these residents to gather and do certain tasks. But I guess it's the dining thing, the movie theaters, games, and outdoor. I mean, indoor-outdoor pools and all this is one of the biggest amenities I think we have right now.
Just seeing some of the pictures that you've shown earlier, it was really encouraging to think about, that this is where I could end up.
This is where we're going to be,
yeah. All right, I want to talk a little bit about standards too, because you have the challenge of delivering a beautiful space, mm-hmm. but doing it in a very safe way,
right?
And the standards that need to be met. Is there anything about that balance that's challenging or unique to senior living?
One in particular, and then I'll kind of get into what I think are my standards. I always say I'm the voice of reason on some of the panels, or Debbie Downer at times. But what I deal with on every renovation that I do in our buildings is that the generation before, again, this is still independent living, but they had the dining room chairs with four casters, so easy mobility, move around. New policy is front leg casters. Really easy glides on the back so they can still push out from the table but still have the ease of getting in and out with the front leg casters. And it's a struggle when you make that change for them. But I think that is a huge, huge safety issue that I think we're trying to bring to the forefront right now. And I think even as an independent living building, people are aging and staying in one place longer. So our bodies are still going to kind of deteriorate as we age, but they don't need the medical help that an assisted will give them. But we have to do that in different ways. Furniture, how they get in on the dining chairs. Some of my standards, when I do talk to some hospitality designers that they just don't quite understand, is you have certain dimensions that you need to adhere to when it comes to seating, I would think. And the biggest one is like with lounge seating, so sofas, lounge chairs, and whatnot, is I have a strict rule of kind of 20 inches deep interior seat depth. And that's like from the front of it to where the cushion starts. And so that's like 19 to 21 inches. If I hit 21, I'm putting a pillow in just in case. I'm short. So I'm like the height of all of our residents. So I understand that. And if I do a sit test, then I know I'm probably going to fit the residents pretty well. The seat height around 19 inches high. And what this allows is that they're not so low. They don't need the energy to get themselves up. The help of an arm is also great. So you see a lot of love seats or individual chairs versus larger sofas. Those get stuck in the middle, don't always have the leverage. But if you have that seat depth, narrow seat depth, the higher seat height, a little firmer seat, you're never going to have any instance of someone per se being stuck, and being able to do it themselves. I told the story earlier about the resident that had a sofa before a renovation and struggled to get out, and at the end of my renovation, she came up to me and was so proud to say that she could get up out of that sofa all by herself. And I thought, okay, job done, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I mean, these are your personal standards.
Well, my personal standards, but I have sort of taken them from some of the manufacturers I think they've done research, obviously, that these are some of the dimensions. And I just, whenever I'm sort of delegating or if I'm trying to instruct someone, I just go, these are what I do. And I think these are the most important.
Is there like another golden nugget like that you have that you could just kind of pass forward right now?
When it comes to flooring, let's just say, we've taken a lot of our inspiration from hospitality again, and visually, the flooring is really important. A lot of our seniors are maybe hunched over or they're looking down, not necessarily up or straight forward. And the wayfinding or understanding of to get around is sometimes with floor. And if you have a pattern that's a high contrast perhaps, or that has any movement to it, my little nugget is still have your design, but really look at it closely. Get a large piece of a flooring and look at it and look down at it. And if you have any sense that it's making you even uncomfortable, don't install that. There's a story, if I can also include a little story. I had a smaller piece of carpet I thought was a great pattern and kind of had this flowiness to the in the pattern. I thought, oh, this will be great. I put it into a memory care neighborhood. We installed it and all they saw were snakes moving. And I thought, oh, I am a failure. I am never doing this again. I'm going to go sell shoes. So
you didn't fail. You learned.
I did. You know, I lived and learned. And I think we maybe even corrected that mistake. It was a horrible mistake that we all made. But just, you know, you need to look at stuff in a larger scale to understand that the visual aspect of what we're doing as well can really affect, because it there is movement. There is something that's going to happen under their feet, and they need to be able to not get disoriented by that. I don't know. A little tidbit maybe.
I love that. There's something about you that I want to get into here. Just you having put in the work, developed your knowledge set and your experience to be an expert in something in the field of design. Can you offer some career advice on just that path to becoming an expert?
Mm-hmm. I think they really need to understand who it is that they want to design for. I think it keeps coming back to that. I didn't realize that I was going to be so fulfilled doing in senior living interior design. I thought after school I was going to be some high-end designer doing homes or whatever. And I got into the senior living industry. There's a lot of challenges, a lot of people you have to work with. But if you find that passion of who it is or who you want to serve at the end, that's pursue it and go all in. I haven't been happier doing it. Yeah, we have some challenges everywhere. But the path, you know, for me was, as a kid, my father worked in a nursing home. And I didn't know, now that I'm 55, who would have ever guessed that I would be designing for this population that my father was, you know, working for. And I helped in the kitchen and clean the kitchen out. I would help with activities and different parties. I felt fate was maybe now was telling me this is what my journey was going to be.
Yeah.
To fulfill this population. You know, again, do a little bit of research. You know, if you go visit some senior living, or, you know, intern with a hotel or something, and find out if that is going to be who you want to design for, because in the end, you're not going to be successful at whatever that genre is if you don't truly understand it. It can be very, very challenging. It's emotional. You know, this industry is really emotional. It takes a special person to work in a senior living community. And if they don't have the passion, they're not going to be successful, and they're going to have unhappy residents, and you're going to be unhappy yourself. So I have found that when I leave, and if I even have just a handful of residents giving me hugs, oh my gosh, when I leave, I know I've made a difference with at least one person. We'll put it that way. Yeah. I don't know. Did that answer your question? I'm not entirely sure.
I love it.
I'm always off on tangents.
I love it. We need more designers just like you. I mean,
there's
bunches out there. I think that's why people go into design, right?
Right.
That passion, that love. I love that fire is so visible in you.
Well, no, I mean, if you're good at it, great. But there's got to be another purpose, I think, and I'll just drive that home. Figure out who you want to design for yourself. Maybe not the best to go into senior living. But if, you know, if that's who you really want to serve, this is what you should do.
I love it. Kevin, thanks for joining
me. Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Kevin was awesome, Lauren.
Oh, he was so great. I mean, listening to Kevin, you just feel his passion and his care for the outcome of what's built, not only for the residents at a senior living community, but everyone who walks into that space.
I know it. I almost wish I could just call on my inner Kevin if I ever had a moment where I was like, I wonder if what I'm doing has purpose or whatever. He's so connected to purpose. And you're right, the passion just oozes out of him. So that was something that really stuck with me. I'd love to hear from you, maybe some of the key things that got you thinking.
Sure. You know, one of the things that Kevin speaks on is, you know, change or renovation. And it may be a change or renovation that might seem small to us, but can be huge for a resident. You know, he talks about safety to comfort to mobility. And those small changes matter. So listening to the user matters. And I don't think Kevin really could have said it any better.
Yeah, I agree. Even he just talked about changing out one piece of furniture and how that might help someone actually get out of a sofa on their own.
Yes.
And what a difference that would make. And that was really cool.
And what a difference that makes, you know, for us as furniture manufacturers to understand the reason why we might make minor changes, or the reason why a designer makes a minor change, again, that might seem so small, but is could be such a huge impact on that user.
That's a great takeaway. What else struck you?
Oh, goodness. One of the things I wrote down when listening to Kevin is, who do you want to design for? Mm. Again, you hear his passion, and you hear just the care in his voice about building a space for seniors. And it kind of, I think it makes everyone think about their career and, you know, why do you do what you do? And, you know, kind of how it came full circle back for him and him deciding to design, you know, for that population and within the senior living community, and why it's just so impactful for him growing up in that career. So that was one of my biggest takeaway was, who do you want to design for?
I know that, Lauren, when you started in this industry, I don't know if you had the same passion or knowledge around the subject of healthcare that you do now. I know now you're very emotionally connected to the work you do, but what about your journey? Is there a reason that quote like kind of stuck with you?
Well, what resonated with me with Kevin was really when he said, you know, I left school, I left college, and I thought, I'm just going to go and design houses, which absolutely has a purpose. But for him, he found his meaning within senior living, to where I felt similar. You know, I left college and thought, now what? And I actually got an internship with Carolina and just quickly fell in love with the healthcare industry because, I mean, who do you want to design for? Who do you want to work for? Who, you know, what is the main purpose? And there's just so meaning behind healthcare and the lives that you can touch within this profession. So I felt very similar to Kevin when he was speaking about his progression.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Lauren, for joining me. It was great to hear your take on this.
Well, thank you so much, Doug, for having me. And I look forward to everything else that came out of this event.
For more design stories, visit us at ofs.com/imagineaplace. From OFS, I'm Doug Shapiro. Thanks for listening.